What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Debut Royale. We are here today with our final NFL mock draft. It's been mock draft season for a very long time, and we are finally coming to a conclusion to NFL draft pre-draft season. The NFL draft is in a couple of days, and we're very excited for that. We're going to get you a full 32-pick first-round mock draft with trades, so make sure you stick with us through the intro. We'll catch you on the other side. All right, we are here, and we're just going to get right into it. I have the first pick, and if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the picks a bit in advance. We will get to those. If you're listening on the podcast, thank you for joining us. So, first pick, easy, Caleb Williams. Been written in stone for about probably like 7 months now, to be completely honest. As soon as the Bears knew that the Panthers were going to finish with the worst record, Caleb Williams has been a Bear. Not much else to say other than Caleb Williams is the Lisan Al-Ghaith. That's all.
Right. Number two for the Commanders. I went with Jaden Daniels, quarterback from LSU. It seems like that's where the betting odds are going. That's where the buzz is. I would take Drake May. There's more buzz coming in about J.J. McCarthy at this pick. I think that's a bit of smoke from the teams like the Cardinals and Chargers and Patriots trying to pump up the draft value of the other guys and J.J. But Jaden Daniels is the pick. It seems to be what the defensive head coach Dan Quinn wants, the running quarterback.
Bad pick, man. I just don't get it. I don't get it. But you're right. The odds are all pointing in this direction. I think this is going to be the 1-2. This will be in my final written mock. I believe I'll have it this way as well. Pick three. I'm on the clock. Drake May, quarterback from North Carolina. I'm actually not like 100% certain that this will be the pick. I think there is some love for JJ there, but you know, I'm just trusting my eyes, and I think Drake May is the second best quarterback. So if he's here for the Patriots, we just did a fix of the Patriots where we traded down, but this is supposed to be a predictive mock, and I think they're going to stay and pick a quarterback. This time they get Drake May.
You're still on the clock, friend.
I sure am, because we had a trade up. The Minnesota Vikings came up to number four. They sent the 11th pick, the 23rd pick, and a 2025 third round pick. So they get to retain their 2025 first, and that is for pick four to the Cardinals. And they're going to take J.J. McCarthy. I think that their two quarterbacks that they want are actually between McCarthy and Daniels. The more I've sat and thought about it, I used to think May. I think they'd be comfortable with May as well, but with McCarthy here at four, I kind of think you have to get ahead of the Giants. You have to make a big move. The one thing I'm skeptical about is quarterbacks tend to fall every year. For whatever reason, the experts that are plugged in seem to think that it's a very real possibility that four quarterbacks are gone in the top five picks this year, which has never happened. So
all we see is six in the top 13 as well, which is a whole separate issue.
Yeah, we won't have that in this mock. The Vikings do get J.J. McCarthy. He can sit behind Sam Darnold for part of the year if he needs to. I don't actually know if he would need to in that scenario, but
we'll see.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm still on the clock. You're still on the clock. You just
know. I'm sure.
It's great.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate listening to my voice. The Bears are moving up for Marvin Harrison Jr. There's been a lot of buzz about this. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but there's been enough buzz that we're like, let's try it out for this final mock draft here. Every indication is that the Bears will try to put pieces around Caleb Williams. This is the best piece you can possibly put around Caleb Williams in this draft class. They sent the 9th pick and the 2025 second for the 5th pick. After the four quarterbacks are gone, that team loses a bit of leverage for what it's worth. So Bears come up, they take Marvin Harrison Jr. to pair with Caleb Williams, and also DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are there, and also Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett are there. Just a perfect way to introduce a rookie quarterback to the NFL, in my opinion.
Yep, and we're getting at six, basically a rookie quarterback, getting him a new receiver. So Daniel Jones gets Roma Dunze, wide receiver from Washington. I personally, I would take Neighbors. I think Neighbors is obviously a way better version of everything they have on their roster, but Odunze is really something they don't have on the roster besides, I guess, Slayton or Hodgins. They really have nothing like Odunze. So yeah, that's why I'm taking him there. I do think every chance it could be Neighbors, but I'm taking that as a build the lineup rule there.
Yeah. Here at pick 7, I'm just chalk. We've gone off the rails already a little bit, so we're gonna go back to chalk and take Joe Alt to the Titans. I think if he's sitting there at 7, this is a sprint the Carden type of pick. I don't think they'd be willing to move off unless there's a quarterback sitting there. So Joe Alt comes and protects Will Levis. So you can kind of evaluate him and see if you need to take a quarterback next year.
Yeah, and after we go back on the rails, we're going to go right back off. I have the Cardinals trading up from 11 here to 8 with Atlanta. 11 in the first round, third round pick 71, and fifth round pick 162 for 108. So pretty decent value for Atlanta. Also, it's coming out that there's a lot of tampering with Kirk Cousins, and there's a good chance Atlanta loses pick in this draft. So that seems like it's a lot of quick turnaround. They might need to recuperate some assets to better fit this team. They really have two big needs in corner and edge, and they can get that later. It's a good move for them to trade down and get more capital. And for the Cardinals, you trade out, you don't get Marvin Harrison, but I think they could be one of the teams that view Malik Neighbors and Rome Odunze in the same tier. And if that's the case, trading out, getting extra picks, and trading up with one of your 3/3, basically, and one of your, I think, 2 or 3/5, to get up a few spots to get the last remaining top receiver makes the most sense. Malik Neighbors would be a game changer for them.
Great, great trade. Fun behind the scenes fact about this. We forgot that Randy wanted to do that. We went like 3 picks past this, and then we said, you know what? This is our mock. We can erase that.
I always say we're stupid, so that's it's okay. Exactly.
But it was fun, and it was fun to correct it because I think I actually like how the board fell a lot better. Here with the next pick at pick number 9, after the Bears moved up, the Chargers get their starting right tackle, potentially right guard, depending on how the camp goes. But J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama. I think this is the best fit for the Chargers. It's either this or Fuanga. I think the Chargers want to take an offensive lineman personally. And so that's what I've been mocking. That's what I think is going to happen. And that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, I think if Malik Neighbors is there, it's definitely tempting, but he's not. So all the temptation's gone. Harbaugh is super happy. He gets an extra second round pick and gets to pick one of the 2 or 3 linemen he was always going to pick anyways. At 10, with those 2 linemen off the boards and all those receivers, I have the Jets taking Brock Bowers. Again, getting more chalk here. But I do think there's a better chance to get a rotational tackle to be your swing tackle, could be for guard this year in the third round, than there is to be a true offensive weapon in the third round that can hit the ground and be your second option on this team, which Mike Williams is the second option, good for the 5 to 10 games he plays. Brock Bowers is a threat all over the field. So bringing him on is the best case scenario.
Yep. You're still on the clock.
I know. All right, Atlanta Falcons, after trading back here, get Latu. Oh, sorry, little inside joke there. I tried not to laugh. Edge from UCLA. Honestly, this has been chalk of being Dallas Turner, but the closer and closer we've gotten to the draft, all signs are indicating that they want more of a big edge. And I think that's Latu. He's the most refined edge. If they checked off all the medical boxes on him, he's the best edge in this class. I think Dallas Turner has the most upside, and I think Jared Verse is the best power rusher and the best effort guy. They get the best one, day one, to make an impact for this defense here at 11. You trade it back, get everything you wanted. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, love this pick. I think they'd take him even at 8 for what it's worth.
Yes.
And then your big trade-up, Randy.
Yes, I know. I'm just never off the clock. this is annoying. I agree. I have the Eagles trading up here to pick 12. Again, the top 4 quarterbacks off the board, the top 4 offensive weapons off the board, the best edge rusher off the board. I think the Broncos, with this situation, are desperately trying to move back. They should be desperately trying to move back if they can't move up for the 4th quarterback anyways. So in this, the Eagles come up for the top cornerback on their board in the class. And with top 30 visits and all the scouting, everything they've done, that's Tyrion Arnold for them, in my opinion, corner from Alabama. Give up pick 22, pick 50, and pick 120 in the fourth round for 112. So Broncos get three picks, basically two additional picks. They don't have a second round pick. This is perfect for them. They can get their quarterback later and still get all the desperately needs that they have on this team. But the Eagles come up and get, in their opinion, the best corner on the board, and most people's opinion, the best corner on the board, arguably with one or two extra. But I think they could easily sit back. We're seeing that a lot, them getting Nate Wiggins or Kool-Aid McKinstry. Why sit back with two second-round picks, not any holes on this team besides corner, and maybe linebacker depth or rotational guys for the future, edge rotational offensive line of the future. Like, they don't have needs. Maybe wide receiver three. Like, you might as well get the best player at your biggest position of need here. I know this goes against what Howie does normally, but he's done everything he can to build the championship roster. Let's get the final piece on the secondary. That was the worst aspect of your team last year.
Yeah, I also just want to note that we did this before Jordan Reed released his mock draft on ESPN. So
we did this Sunday at like 2. Or like 5, I think, actually.
Yeah, it was later on Sunday, but this was done before that, and this is actually a pick that Jordan Reed also made. I believe it was all the way up to 12. It was the same exact
trade. Yeah, so it was the same. I think he might have given up 53 and a fifth rounder, so I gave him more, but whatever.
Yeah, that's fine. We love to see it, though. Sometimes that means we're on the right track. Other times, you know, like Randy said, we're stupid. And here's a stupid pick. Number 13, Troy Fatanu, offensive tackle from Washington, going to the Raiders. The only reason I say that is because this is often Talisa Fuanga. But a lot of the time in recent mocks, Fatanu has been off the board. I think if he's there, the versatility that he offers, I think the athleticism, he's checked every box this pre-draft process. The only argument you can make is that he's a little bit older, but I don't think that matters a whole lot, especially to a Raiders team that should be looking to make the playoffs fairly quickly, despite their quarterback situation. I think that they believe that they can compete very, very quickly. Fontenu really helps this. And like I said, the versatility is important. You're not getting a starting left tackle, probably, but the idea that Fontenu, right, like Fontenu can plug and play at right tackle. He could probably play right guard. I think some level he can play center if you need him to. They clearly don't need that, but I think he slots in as their starting right tackle day one, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and worst case, it feels better for you to have him at right guard. I think he's going to be a better guard than Fuaga would be, and he's a bit more complete than Fuaga. Fuaga is going to be a running guy. We've seen Gardner and Aaron O'Connell with protection play really well. Are they elite level? No, but again, you don't necessarily need elite level to make the playoffs. The Colts did it last year with Gardner. You know, it's very possible, but they need to address the offensive line, period. Yeah. And at 14, speaking of addressing the offensive line, the Saints might have three holes to fill on the offensive line. So I'm taking Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle from Penn State. I truly think at this pick, he is the best pure tackle on the board. Yes, he has to improve in the run game. The run game for the Saints kind of sucks, so it doesn't matter. They're going to drop Derek Carr back 50 times. Alvin Kamara is going to catch 20 passes a game, and that's all we care about. So let's get Olu in, who, in my opinion, is easily the best pass protector on the board and close to it in the draft. So it's a good fit here. He could play either side for you, whatever you got to do. Trevor Penning can kick inside because he's not good anyways. And this is a good fit for the future of this team. Or trade back. I don't care. But either way, you got to get offensive line in this first round.
Yeah, for sure. Here at 15, part of me believes the Colts are going to move up for a wide receiver. Unfortunately, all those wide receivers were gone because the Cardinals got a little bit more aggressive. So the Colts just sat back and got a really talented wide receiver in Brian Thomas Jr. He's kind of the mold of wide receiver I think they'll be looking for. They need a deep field stretching type of guy that can win vertically because Alec Pierce hasn't been good enough. They have their possession wide receiver. They have their slot wide receiver. I think they have some tight ends that they like, despite the rumors that they really love Brock Bowers. Of course, they love Brock Bowers. But
I was going to say, you can have athletic, good, young tight ends and still love the best tight end in the draft, and one of the best weapons.
Most drafts. Yeah, and in most drafts, like kids very talented, but Brian Thomas Jr. honestly fills that Alec Pierce role pretty immediately, and you can give him time to develop as a route runner and become a more complete wide receiver. But when you have Anthony Richardson who can launch balls 70 yards, you need a guy that can go win downfield. Exactly. Brian Thomas Jr. does that.
And thankfully, they didn't take the upside shot of Worthy. They went with the actual better receiver here. That's just good drafting, which is usually what the Colts do. I wouldn't have argued if you wanted to trade up to 10 to get Bowers, but I think either way, they're just going to sit and pick whoever's best there between wide receiver, tight end, corner. That's smart for them. 16, Seattle, couldn't move back here to where I really wanted. We've done a lot of trades, so I really didn't want to force feed the Steelers trading up here for a tackle or the Bengals doing such or anything else. So I stuck in pick here at 16. It took Byron Murphy, D tackle from Texas. Yeah, they have their backbone in Leonard Williams. They have good starters besides that, but none of them are really good at rushing the passer out of those starting three down linemen. You have two upside edge rushers. I think Byron Murphy helps you a ton day one, and he gets to rotate in all three downs but be your third down designated pass rusher as well. It's a great fit for him. He'll be it reminds me of like Jordan Davis going to the Eagles, to where he gets to do what he's supposed to do and excel early at a young age because he's not having to play every single snap and be the stalwart of the defense.
Yeah, this is the best defensive player in the draft, in my opinion. More on that with a later video. Actually, it's overall on the podcast. No video for that one, but it'll be there this week. Yeah, truly. But make sure you subscribe to the podcast to hear our My Guys episode, which is coming soon. Okay, number 17, I'm back on the clock. I think Terrion Arnold is the perfect fit for the Jaguars, but as I think everyone knows that, and that's why Howie moved up to go get him. And so I'm having the Jaguars take Quinyon Mitchell. I know that there's been, some buzz that the Jaguars want a wide receiver. I think that that's rightfully so. I think they need a wide receiver. But Quinyon Mitchell, the corner from Toledo, had a fantastic pre-draft process. This is an absolute value for him here at 17. I think that the Jaguars definitely need a starting number two corner that can potentially work into being a number one corner in the future. I think Mitchell fits that bill very, very well. So it sucks for Trevor Lawrence that they don't get more weapons, but surprise, they have more picks. They can still do that. So they will.
All right, 18, Bengals. Yeah, I think here it's either D-tackle, wide receiver, offensive tackle. I want Talisi Fuanga, offensive tackle from Oregon State. I think he can compete for guard if you want him to day one, but arguably he could beat out Trent Brown day one. And best case, he plays five games. So Fuaga's getting on the field this year. Yeah, the investment should be in the offense and getting him more weapons, especially if you're possibly trading T. But he's been hurt not because of the weapons not catching the ball. He has been hurt because of people coming through and hitting him very hard because the offensive line has been haphazard in the past. So let's just make sure that's not an issue going forward so we can keep Joe Burrow, one of the best quarterbacks in the game, on the field.
Yeah, very important. 19, I'm on the clock. Randy yelled at me for this one, but I'm taking Xavier Worthy to the Los Angeles Rams. He didn't yell at me. But there were some more like consensus picks. Everything I've heard from the Rams is that they're going offense, whether that's offensive tackle or wide receiver. I think that that's a move that they will make. I don't think they're going to take a defensive tackle. I think if anything, they would take an edge rusher with this board. Specifically, I think Jared Verse does fit what they want to do. However, DeMarcus Robinson is one of their starting wide receivers right now, and Cooper Kupp is 31 years old. And so we need to start looking at what this wide receiver core looks like beyond Cooper Kupp. Obviously, they have Puka Nacua, but this is a Sean McVay-led offense, and he has always had talented wide receivers that kind of punch above their weight. I think Xavier Worthy can do that, and this is just a nasty, dynamic weapon for a quarterback in Matthew Stafford who can still sling the ball. To me, this puts them back in Super Bowl contention, which I think this is what they want to do. So,
yeah, I think the good thing about it is you'll actually get what they thought they might get out of Tutu Atwell. Right. Worthy's actually a really good receiver. I have some gripes with him, especially his release and that step back. But you can work on that with the best footwork receivers in the NFL. I think that's a part where he can thrive. And, yeah, I mean, Cup, as great as he is, he hasn't been on the field the last 2 years. So you do need stuff. It's just one of those, like, you're thinking they're doing it later in the draft. But they also haven't had a first-round pick in, what, 6 years? So
exactly.
We don't know what they're going to do. Right. But we do know what the Steelers are going to do at 20. All the top receivers, really, besides A.D. Mitchell, are off the board. So I'm going to take offensive tackle Amarius Mims from Georgia to pair with Roderick Jones last year from Georgia. Whatever one wants to – I think you probably put Jones at the left side and let Mims stick at the right side, especially because he's still a little bit developmental as he's only played, what, 6 games at college. But what we've seen for those 6 games are good and a lot of upside. So I think it's a good fit. You're making sure you have your bookend tackles. We might be able to get a center or guard later in the draft and try to bolster that position as well. And we still need receiver, corner. But it's a good starting building block position here where everything else is kind of off the board besides offensive line that I really want for you.
Yeah, really once those first two corners are gone too, I think you take that off the board for the Steelers. I think maybe if Quinion's sitting there, you consider it.
I think any of the top three, really top four I'd consider. So Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry still in the conversation. But do they value offensive line over corner? I think they do in this spot.
Yeah, especially a big boy like Marius.
And all right. Senior Bowl, Tomlin and his coaching staff was just staring at the offensive line. So
yeah, fair. Here at 21, the Miami Dolphins are on the clock. With Jared Verse on the board, it's kind of an interesting fit because the Dolphins traditionally have like outside linebackers that are rushing the passer. Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb are there. But both hurt. And I think we saw once they got hurt that there's really no depth to this edge rushing group. Jared Verse to me is a pretty versatile piece. I actually think Verse can be a standing outside linebacker and still win with power if needed. I think you can throw him as a down lineman on a 3-4 front. So I think there's some versatility to him. I think he's still growing and the motor should be able to collapse pockets. To me, there's certainly some offensive linemen that fit here, but they signed Isaiah Wynn. I think they're patchworking the offensive line for this year, kick the can down the road a little bit, or even down the draft board a little bit and go get one of the top three edge rushers in the class.
Yeah. I think, like you said, Verse can kick inside when those other two guys are healthy. They can go from the outside. He could be your dominant inside interior threat like Wilkins was. I think they still could get that kind of guy later in the draft easily. They also could get more of a big body run defense D tackle, and they're not putting all the pressure on him right here. We're not even sure. We think Phillips will be back to start the year. We're really not sure about Chubb. We'd almost be shocked if he makes it by November, December. So getting Verse in there is the smart move.
Yeah.
22, Denver trades back, gets their guy, Bo Nix, quarterback from Oregon. I truly think after you're done with the top four, Nix over Penix is who Sean McVay,
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton would want. I literally looked up at the Rams. I think that's the perfect fit for him. It's a athletic quarterback, likes to hit. He's going to stay in the system. He's not going to buck the trend. He's going to listen to him and only him. He's going to throw exactly where the read is. And I think he can truly grow under Payton and be a really good quarterback. I think it's one of his best fits. Arguably his best fit.
Yeah. Do you think Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, or Bo Nix would start?
From all the talk, it'd have to be Stidham, right?
Well, I don't know, man.
I think the Zach Wilson trade is literally just, all right, if we can't get our quarterback at 12, we can't move up, and we can't move back, we're going to take the best. Now we're not forced to take a quarterback at 12. We're just going to take the best player on the board. And I think they have to trade up or down, though. Mainly down.
They need to trade down. They don't have enough picks to trade up, in my opinion. I don't think Nix is a first rounder for what it's worth, but I also can see. I mean, the over 4.5 quarterbacks right now is heavily favored. So, Penix or Nix, a lot of people think that one of those two at least is going. So,
And all I've seen all, you know, week of draft mocks from Sims and all these people.
Six quarterbacks.
Six quarterbacks going 12 and 13. They have to, you know, because they need a quarterback in the future. It's like, guys, the Broncos, I get it, but.
Yeah, I just don't see it, man. It's crazy. No. You're on the clock for the next
For the Cardinals' second pick, since this was from pick four, trading down. I want Dallas Turner, edge from Alabama. The fact that, yes, I do think this is very realistic if he doesn't go to the top teams. I think he fits better down here. And again, Arizona would be a phenomenal fit. I think if they stayed pat at 11, this would probably be my pick. So getting him here at 23 to help us set the trend at the edge rusher and, you know, build up that depth. You got a receiver to really build up the offense. Now we got the edge rusher, and we still have a pick at 27 and 35 to finish, you know, spectacularly with our first four picks in the top 35. And then Dallas at 24, it's pick your poison of offensive linemen, in my opinion. Yes, it'd be fun to take a receiver. Yes, it'd be fun to do a lot of things for them. But truly, their biggest need is offensive line. I think they are very comfortable putting Tyler Smith at left tackle. So I went with Grant Barton to give you the flexibility of guard or center. I do think Jackson Powers Johnson also would be a phenomenal fit for them. But I think a good idea for the Cowboys, we take somebody that can for sure play tackle, so that way you have the option, and then try and get a center later in the draft.
Yeah, that's right. For what it's worth, Jackson Powers Johnson getting medical concerns. I don't know what to believe at this point, because when I look at the film, he's a top 10 player pretty comfortably. So. Yeah. I don't understand what we do with these elite center prospects. Creed Humphrey comes to mind as a guy that should have been drafted. At least he went in the first.
I know, but Linderbaum, that year, Linderbaum and Hamilton, we were just pounding the table for. Everyone's just like, no. And then they both go to the Ravens and they're all pros.
Surprise. They're good. Man, crazy.
Film doesn't lie.
Right. All right. 25 here. I'm on the clock with the Packers. I didn't really, you know, I think the Packers should trade back. Mainly because I hate picking for them.
They have so many picks. They should not trade back.
They should trade back up. Because I hate picking for them. This is my one team that I'm like, man, the whole offense is good except for offensive tackle, but they don't pick offensive tackle in the first round. Same way the Eagles don't pick, you know, all these other positions, but instead, I'm going to take Cooper DeJean. I don't think corner's the biggest need, to be completely. I think it's a need, but I think there's a chance that Jair Alexander isn't there past next year. And so you're kind of looking towards the future here. I think he plays corner in the NFL. I think if he fails there, you play him at safety, and I think he can be a good one of those as well. Versatile player, super athletic, white corner in the first
round. The ideal draft for the Packers in the first 2 days is to get a corner that can start outside or inside for you, mainly outside, a safety to rotate in, if not start this year, a linebacker to do the same, and an offensive lineman, which they have enough picks to do all those things easily. So you went with one of them here. Cooper DeJean, super versatile, super impactful in the run game, which their corners are not. Their corners also can't stay healthy. He does. So we're expecting good things from this pairing. Most Packers fans will be shocked that he's there. You know, they really want him or a corner here. 26, Jackson Powers Johnson to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Easily could start at center this year for him. If they want him to start at guard for 1 year, works, but they need either or, left guard or center. So
Robert Hainsey sucks.
He does, but you could argue that Powers at guard would be much better than Hainsey at guard or wherever else they're going to put at guard. So
that's fair. That's totally fair. Yeah. 27, Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner from Alabama to the Cardinals with their third first round pick. Randy bullied me out of my original pick here, but I'm not even going to tell you who it was.
he'll be upset. You went a different
direction. I went a different direction. Okay, I have to tell everyone. It's Mike Sanders still. My bold prediction this year is that Mike Sanders still is going to be a first-round pick. The only reason I think I believe this is because I think Darius Robinson is off the board by the time the Lions pick. And if you're watching, I just spoiled a pick. However, I think Sanders still fits everything that Dan Campbell wants in his football players. So I kind of think he sneaks into the first round. I tried to sneak him in because I knew Darius Robinson would still be on the board and I can't pass him up for the Lions. Instead, I want Kool-Aid McKinstry, who's probably the better player. One of the most underrated corners in this class for some reason. Yeah. I don't get it.
The Cardinals have three, like, 6 foot and under corners. So they're all struggling to be able to play on the outside. It makes way more sense to get a pure outside corner and then let them fight it out. Sanders still perfectly could fit. I think if he goes in the first, even if I don't have him on my big board anywhere near that, that's fine. Yep. I think it fits because I think he's a big team guy. He's a big leader, but I think he's a pure slot. So
that's right.
That was my argument against taking him with all the slots that they have, because we know that doesn't work well for the Giants receiver room. So why would it work well for the Cardinals secondary?
Yeah. Good bullying. Thank you for bullying.
I do my best. It's got you this far.
It's true. That's true. All right. Take Donnie Mitchell.
Yes. 28 Buffalo Bills get to sit back and pick Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver from Texas. Perfect fit for them. Outside, big body, X receiver, alpha, lit. Sometimes takes plays off. So maybe Josh Allen will get his feelings hurt some more. But I think the young guy will bend to the all-pro quarterback. Especially when he's mossing everyone within sight, because that's his specialty. I do think he'll ask for the ball, but on this offense, I think he'll be commanding the ball anyways. You would hope. I think there was a little bit of rift between Allen and Diggs, and Diggs on the offensive play callers, so I just think they weren't scheming him touches because he wasn't doing well anyways, and then he was also being a bit of a diva. I think the change of scenery for Diggs, he's going to correct a lot of those things and be a weapon this year. However, the Bills get an upgrade, in my opinion, with age, contract, attitude, hopefully, and athleticism.
Yeah. Yep. I love that pick. I'm not even a huge Adonai fan, and I'd be pretty in on it. So.
At least six times in this draft, I was like, Bills trade up? Or and Christian had to bully me the opposite way. Like, no.
If anything, I think they trade back and still take a wide receiver. But with Adonai still there, it's tough to pass him up. Here at 29, I'm taking Darius Robinson to the Lions, as I alluded to earlier. Dan Campbell, nasty player, physical player. Something to just hold the edge opposite of Aiden Hutchinson while also being a powerful pocket collapsing type of guy that can rotate on the inside as well with their stud defensive tackles. This team is set up remarkably. For what it's worth, though, I would have taken Adonai Mitchell at 29 if he was there, because I think that
he fits.
Well, you've got Jameson. The problem is they lost Josh Reynolds, who had 700 yards last year. And so they do need to replace that in some way. Maybe they don't do it in the first, and clearly they don't here. Maybe they get the edge rusher now, wide receiver later, but I do want to put that on people's radar because I won't be shocked if they take one in the first round either.
No, edge, wide receiver future, or wide receiver, offensive line of future, corner are they're by far the biggest needs, probably corner first, but again, I would rather have Darius Robinson than Sanders though, so makes sense. But if they took him, it would also make sense. So if you're watching, you see another trade. I have Atlanta trading up after trading back and acquiring a bit more. They traded pick 43 in the second round and pick 79 in the third for pick 30 and pick 165 in the fifth from the Ravens to get Jerzon Newton, D-tackle from Illinois. The D tackles are weird in this class. They're by far, you know, top 15 talent, no matter who you are and how you spin it. Arguably higher than that, but I'll give people the grace to go to 15. But D tackle isn't the hugest need for most teams. It's not a premium position. So while one, you know, went at 16, and I think both could go earlier, they're both going to go in the first, in my opinion. But Atlanta sitting here, the Ravens, I think, might have taken him, but they have bigger needs. I think San Francisco definitely takes him if he's sitting there. So this was Atlanta trying to get up to get another blue chip piece in their defense. Getting Leity Latu and Jerzon Newton is a ridiculous draft. Ridiculous. Now you just get one corner later to add to the room at least, and you're thriving. And guess what? You have 2 third-round picks, so you still have a third rounder.
Yeah, for sure. I think they add a wide receiver as well at some point in the draft.
Yeah, but you can get an upside receiver to what you've already added in the fourth and thrive.
Yeah, for sure. Here at 31, I'm taking Tyler Guyton to the 49ers, offensive tackle from Oklahoma. He's a weird one because he's a strange build, but also I think there's some tenacity to him. I think you just kind of have to let him develop. There's no better place to develop as an offensive tackle than with Trent Williams, who I think Guyton could potentially become down the road. You know, that's lofty expectations, but the ceiling is high with Tyler Guyton. And quite frankly, Colton McKivitz is not it at right tackle. Tyler Guyton is a natural right tackle, so you plug him in as a starter this year.
He could fight for right guard or right tackle from day one. I do think if he was there on the board for 32, I was taking him pretty simply, pretty easily. So I think it's a smart pick. 32, kind of a weird pick. Not necessarily, because all signs are pointing to Xavier Leggett, who is the pick here at 32, wide receiver from South Carolina, going apparently pick 33 to the Carolina Panthers, according to his 5 or 6 visits with them. So they need another outside receiver. Again, Sky Moore and every other slot receiver they've drafted hasn't worked out. The only inside-outside guy that they've drafted has worked out, Rashee Rice. I think we do it again here with Xavier Leggett. I think Troy Franklin is also a phenomenal pick here. But Leggett is getting more buzz for first round than Franklin, which I frankly think is incorrect. And I know Christian's rankings say it's incorrect. So I would go there, but I think people are getting a steal in the second round. And I think it'll probably be the Patriots, so they can't screw it up. But that'd be funny.
That's right. All right. That'll do it for our final NFL mock draft for the 2024 NFL draft. Like I said, we'll have another show or another episode of our guys that's going out on the podcast. But if you've been following along this draft season, we want to thank you for your support and thank you for watching consistently. It's been a really fun one. We have some big plans for the 2025 NFL draft. We're already starting that process. So, you know, we're going to have a ton of Debbie content on this channel. So, we will be in tune to college football and prospect analysis throughout the next 367 days or how many ever days before the 2025 NFL draft. So make sure you stay locked in, subscribe to this channel. Randy, anything to add on our final mock draft here?
Glad we're almost there. Can't wait for Thursday. Gonna be exciting. Unfortunately, Browns do not pick until the second round. Last year of that Watson deal really helping us. But there's some other just phenomenal possibilities. We went a little bit different in this one with a lot more trades, but this I feel like is the blueprint of what is going to happen. I think we're going to get like 6 or 7 trades in the first round.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the line is set at 6.5 and the over is heavily favored once again. Yeah. So I think it could happen for sure. All right. Thank you guys for watching. We will catch you guys next time.